call this meeting order before we get started. Remind everyone, you will have a chance to talk at the end of the meeting. No interruptions unless you oppose something, and one of the commissioners will let you speak at that time. Mr. James?
We should give our Father, we want to thank you each and every day you give us here, Lord. Father, we ask you to lead us and guide us and direct every decision we make that's according to your will for this county. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I need a approval of the regular meeting for February 3rd, 22.
Motion.
Got a motion, W6, second, Mr. Peterson, all in favor. Need approval of the regular meeting of February the 17th, 22.
Motion.
Got a motion, WC, second by Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Aye.
Need approval of the vouchers.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Aye.
Any constitutional officers like
Chair.
To speak?
Chair.
Express a little bit of what's on my agenda.
Motion, Mr. Hatch, second, Mr. Mills, all in favor.
Secondly, is there is some building that's placed on the sheriff's office or out at the jail, the sheriff's office property, and commission's property. Excuse me. That's are not going to be adequate for the creation of the accreditation policies for evidence and training buildings. But with that being said, Ms. Rita Harris. She's needing to expand her school. Instead of the sheriff's office or the commissions absorbing those costs to move those buildings or to do anything with those buildings, she has some concerns if we can donate. And I've worked with the county manager, and we're still trying to figure out exactly who owns, whether the commission's on that or the sheriff's office on that. From the sheriff's office side, I would I want to donate. If that buildings are found to be in commissions, I would like to ask commissions just to see if we could vote on if y'all share my concerns of voting to our schools, one, to benefit our children, and two, it keeps us from avoiding our cost for them as well.
Yeah, I think that they would name them too.
Along the same lines of what you're talking about with y'all handling the other, I'm going to make a motion if the board owns the buildings that we donate them to.
Second. We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, second, Mr. Mills. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. One question on that, though. Who's going to pay, is Reno going to pay for the building to be moved from that location to that, the new location? Y'all taking care of that?
We purchased all the property to clean up and open home, and all the way to the park. And some of the
No. I'm just asking, are y'all going to be paying for the building to be moved from the jail to y'all's location? Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Cannon, I'll work with you from this point forward to make sure everything falls in place so the donation can go to Ms. Rita Harris and the board speak about it.
Yeah. Sheriff, one other thing, if you don't mind, before you leave, on the evidence room, I know we got the old jail sitting out there. There's nothing being done with it. Anything down there could be utilized to help you in your shortcomings on space or whatever to that effect.
If we get to that point, I would rather not use that jail just because of how old it is and if it doesn't fall within the constraints of an evidence room. If it looks like we get in a bind between where we're at now versus a new building, new facilities, we're going to have to look at any and all options in the sheriff's office side, make that square footage available. If it means using the old jail, using buying an outbuilding and reinforcing it, the sheriff's office too at that point. We're using bathrooms and things of that nature. That's not a good thing when you have that many folks in the jail. But that's just the word, truly. That's just for the sheriff's office outbuilding. So, and with that building, down the road and we'll have this conversation later. Knowing Bill, we meet our requirements of what we need now. So I think we're 10 or 15 years down the road so we can have our buildings grow here. So.
Thank you.
Any other any questions I could ask that I can answer? Yes, ma'am.
I called the other night. My brother died. Could you do at 3 o'clock? No one was still notified my family. Called your dispatch and spoke to Chad Cruz. I said, give him a letter down. He said, Frank, can you hear? No. Everybody knew Frank and you. Our entire lives, Gary. He was supposed to call me back. Day, day, now, my brother's buried. All the children are in the state. And no one's still the sort of thing. I want to be good as you and I'm not going to do it. This ain't right. You don't want to be good. I've been in permanent 25 years. I feel more depression than anybody. But I even want to. Okay, let's tell my mama, her son, dead, Darby. I've known you my whole life.
I didn't understand.
Why didn't you come by and tell me? My brother was dead.
From that point, I was there when I seen immediately on the death of any investigation of that nature, the sheriff's office hands off and don't mess with it. It goes strictly to FHP at that point.
Yeah.
So your concerns at that point, I'll help you walk through that with you. that I got a concern as well. Those investigators take it from us immediately, and if they haven't reached out, I'll agree with you, and I have an issue with them. And after this meeting, I agree with you. If you want to know after this meeting, and then the sheriff's office, you need to sit down and call SHC and find out where the ball was dropped. I agree with you.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Appreciate you.
So you and Miss Benfing, are y'all gonna discuss that? Okay. Okay.
I train all of the state. This is such a disaster. I didn't realize how many people does not check license for ordinance. And my brother was going to make tattoos across our chest. He might risk one ordinance on him. He said, I'll never see it, bro, girl. It's too little. Guess what? I'm going to get a big tattoo across my chest. But they never wear fingers. You can bother to keep your shirt off. We got to use the change. I need everybody's help. I need everybody's credit. My mama doesn't need that credit. Never left me in my brother's shop.
Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you. Need a motion during the public hearing?
Motion.
Got a motion, WC. Okay. Second, Ms. Phipps, and all in favor.
Aye.
Good morning. You ready?
A petition by William Cannon requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5, special exception of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in the ESA zoning district in accordance with the petition dated January 28, 2022, be located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 11-09-10-0252-000A-0050. That's 5250 Northwest Highway 19, Steenatchee, Florida, 32359, Commission District 5, James Valentine.
I haven't gotten a call about him. The trailer's already there. I don't see no opposition.
We have any oppositions on it?
No.
You need a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
A petition by Robert Hastings requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5, special exception of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in the ESA zoning district in accordance with a petition dated February 2nd, 2022. Be located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 13-08-13-3720-0000-0230 at 330 Northeast 818th Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680. Commission District 1, Jody Stevenson.
Got any opposition?
No, sir.
Anyone here oppose it? Anyone on the phone? Make a motion to approve.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
I have a petition by Charles Michael Jones requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in 4.4.5 special exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulation to permit a home occupation as defined in Article 2, 2.1.82I. Number 7, professional office located in the agricultural zoning district. In accordance with the petition dated February 2nd, 2022, to be located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 11-08-13-0000-3665-0100 at 1112 Northeast 9th Avenue, Branson, Florida, 32008. Commission District 1, Tony Stevenson.
Any opposition?
No, sir.
Anyone here oppose it? Anyone on the phone? Make a motion to approve.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson.
A second.
Second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye.
A A petition by Andrew and Karen Burnham requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.4.5, Special Exceptions, Number 9, Recreational Activities Campground in the Dixie County Land Development Regulations Ag Agriculture Zoning District in accordance with the petition dated February 11, 2022, to be located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County Parcel Number 21-10-13-0000-4763-0000 at 23210 Southeast Highway 19, Old Town, Florida, 32680. Mission District 3, Mark Hatch.
Any opposition?
No, sir.
I haven't had any either. Anyone here opposing?
I'm not sure if we oppose or not. We have our property back.
I talked to Mr. Lee on it. And do y'all want to look at the map?
The only thing we worry about, they build it up.
There's plenty of, there's a map. There's a site plan right there if y'all want to. I know this one, you wanted to look at that.
I just have some issue. I'm the little produce man that's, he's kind of surrounding me now.
Take a step up here to the podium, state your name.
I'm the little produce. My name's Donald O'Flair. And he just...
Y'all step up here, too.
I was just informed that he did by the rock bed area, I guess, to make his driveway to come in due to the DOT regulations of getting off the highway, which is fine, but I'm kind of concerned about that flooding where his sewer and dump stations would be. And I know all the wells would probably be somewhat DEP approved. They have to be. At the same time, I don't want things to just run back into me. And also, if that's a small buffer behind my house there, probably about a 200-foot span, that he'll be coming through the traffic to get into to the other parcel. If there might be some kind of another buffer.
Things of that sort, but I mean, there is the setback that we're maintaining, and
trees there. There's a lot of trees. They'll be maintained. It won't be cleared. Just provide that extra buffer for any noises or things that may.
Do you have an expansion plan?
No, sir.
For the future?
No, sir. Just 100 sites. We want to keep them larger and make it where people have more of a feel of a natural environment and not come jam-packed in there like sardines. So no plan to put more than 100 sites on there.
That was one of my questions about the trees on your buffer. Were you going to clean them? You just answered that. You said no.
Yes, sir.
Any more questions from, do you have?
Yes, ma'am. I noticed that right where the retention pond area is, that borders our property. And then the front of our property, we're already flooded when it gets flooded. So we're good in our front backyard and our house. But then now this retention pond goes right up to the back of our property. As long as we can be assured that that retention pond is not going to bring water onto our property. Because otherwise we're going to be boxed in.
On y'all's retention pond there.
Water already spans back in that area at the time.
On the retention pond, I see y'all drawed up here. When that thing gets full, where does the excess water expel?
It will. We haven't gotten that point of design, but we'll come out in an advantageous place. But the whole point of a stormwater pond is to not increase flow. So it's got enough capacity to hold back any extra volume and any extra rain. So it'll actually, we've got enough room to improve the downstream conditions.
Right. Well, all stormwater ponds, we design them to that scenario, but in the worst-case scenario, they fill up and they belch out.
Right.
My concern is, like her concern, is that drain, when it gets full, is it going to belch onto her side? That's where I'm getting at. I mean,
the whole retention pond's going to cover our property.
The water that's currently going there without any improvement on the site, it will be equal or less than what's already going on the site. So it will not increase any flows whatsoever.
But will the property be built up and just water back on our site where we live? Our house is real close to that line.
Whatever
is. And who's going to be responsible if that does happen?
It's the landowner that's responsible for the stormwater pond and any maintenance.
I'm thinking they can decide that
water
don't go on you.
They have to be sure that they ain't going to put water on
you.
They're liable for that. Whatever happens, they're liable for it.
What we've actually done, and we've been designing it some more, this is just a preliminary that we presented, but we've actually moved the stormwater ponds around, broken them up into a couple of them. So it's actually going to be a little bit better than what you see here.
Underneath the structures and the stormwater goes in there like a huge drain field.
Yep.
We can't hear. We got one person at a time.
I know for sure you don't have to build that up. And that's my concern, too, because I'm kind of on the ridge. And if you build that up and my path drops down my path, you build this up, everything's going to funnel right there into that ridge.
We'll definitely make sure that doesn't happen.
Because that rock pit won't never hold. That's the first thing that overflows.
The Water Management District requires us to design through the 100-year storm event. That's a 1% annual chance any given year. That's what we will design it to. And they've got to scrutinize it. It's going to be an environmental resource permit. I have to go through all their engineers, and they really look at it.
Yes,
definitely. Yeah. Trust me, they give me a hard time every time I come back in.
Mr. Don, do you have any more questions?
Yes. Is the entrance actually going to be coming off of the Hicks Road? I don't know that street number. But
it could. We've had preliminary discussions with DOT, and my first discussion with Mr. Hanna, he said in the past they don't even like to have median breaks at RV parks like this, because you find that as people are trying to go through the median and go left, they may be pulling a car or some kind of trailer behind them. They might not make it. They get stuck. So it's actually a preference to not have a median break. So the current location of the driveway, it'll, of course, be improved to commercial standards, you know, according to DOT standards. But it's in a fine location just for entrance and exit. And then people can find
their way. Well, is it on 19 or is it straight?
It's on 19.
But the state will approve that. I mean,
oh, yeah, no problem. We've had them approved in other places on divided highways, exactly the same scenario.
Because ingress and egress wasn't just fire.
It's currently there.
That's right. That's on the edge.
Right.
We try to get it beforehand, but we're booked up.
Ms. Pushman, do you have anything else?
No, it's flooding. We
have.
We have. You know how bad it gets.
Yes, ma'am. I do.
Coming in our whole roads get flooded, so we're safe so far on that end.
Right.
And then when that comes in, we just don't want to make it better. Our house and our home, and we've been there 40 years.
I grew up next door to there, so I've been in my
entire life.
That is a fun concern. That will not happen. Yeah, I guarantee on it.
The side itself
looks
fine to me.
We had someone on the phone. Jennifer Mancia. Yeah, I think
she was
the lady here last time. She
lives
up there by the...
She on the phone now? I just unmuted her. Go ahead, Ms. Jennifer. You got something to say?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to, you know, again, raise my concerns with people doing U-turns on 19. I think it is a terrible idea with pulling a camper, because I actually pull a camper myself. And
Mr. That's what we've just talked about with the DOT. They're still working with them on that, and they've got to get approved on all that and everything else. This is just the beginning of it. That's what we was just talking about.
I could kind of hear bits and pieces, you know, just from how it's kind of cutting out. You know, not to mention, you know, possible property value issues with my property being, you know, it bordering on two sides of my property.
Yeah. But that's, yeah, they've, DOT's just getting involved with it. So this ain't going to happen overnight. This is going to be a long process.
Right, sure. And I honestly had said, you know, that I needed to say something before all of this was discussed too, so.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You got anything else?
Does anybody else have anything? So you good? Y'all pretty good? Yes, ma'am.
So there's going to be more than 50 people on this property?
Yeah.
Or then we need an AED, or y'all going to have an AED on the side?
What?
AED.
Automatic electronic. Okay. We'll have whatever is required.
They say an average ambulance takes 10 minutes to get to you in the United States. I did 15 years here. All my patients in Swanee, dead. All my patients in Wishu, dead. All my patients in Cincinnati, dead. Shut down, dead. Why? They're going to get an AED. I wish they should get an AED because it's not taking a lot to get to you.
Sounds like a fantastic.
I've been there.
Anybody else?
Just to reiterate, she was speaking of property values and her concerns with her property. Well, this is in the comp plan. It's 19.4 board. So this plan will continue to actually where it's
right on 19.
Yeah, and that data zone we approved years ago.
Yep. And this is already commercial property. Correct? Okay. I got you. Any more questions
on that? Ms. Julie, could you?
You want to say you've been here in the courthouse and you're helping to speak? Gosh, I wish you got.
I'm a little bit hard here. I'm sorry.
Remember my brother was here and you're having chest pain.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to talk to all.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Doc? Mm-hmm. Okay, there was no AD here. Mr. Johnny Valentine was here. Because, you know, the judge wrote, Carl, Carl, come here, help. He was talking about that guy. I told Johnny Valentine was here. I knew he could get AD. Because the airman, the guy's five, he was in that person's rock. After that, y'all put it in the AD school. It was a courthouse. And I knew that I'd say y'all could
help. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee.
So vote on it? No, we have it. We have it.
You got anything else?
Yes, sir. It was not opposed.
It was not opposed.
Okay. Anyone else on the phone?
We got anybody else on the phone?
Anyone else in the audience? A motion to continue or approve?
Got a motion to approve. Tanya?
Second.
Got a second. We got a motion by Mr. Hatch and a second Mr. Mills. All in favor?
Aye.
Application by Daryl Chu requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5 special exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle, ESA Zoning District, in accordance with the petition dated December 17, 2021, to be located on property as described as follows. Dixie County Parcel Number 02-10-13-0000-4514-0200 at 3180 Northeast Highway 349, Old Town, Florida 32680, Commission District 2, W.C. Mills.
Got any opposition on it?
Sir.
Is anybody on the phone? Anybody in the audience? Motion to approve.
Second. We got a motion, W.C. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
We have a petition by Cyril Fullenkamp located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County Parcel Number 19-13-12-2930-0000-0330 at 25 Southeast 210th Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680, to request a variance for a reduction of front setbacks from 25 feet to 10 feet for construction of a home on lot number 38 by the petition dated February 9, 2022, which is located within Section 4.7.7 in RSF/MH subparagraph 2 of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations in accordance with Section 12.3, Various Procedures. Commission District 3, Mark Hatch.
Any opposition?
No.
Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? Motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
I second.
Second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye.
Need a motion to go back to the board.
Motion.
Got a motion from Mr. Stevenson, second Mr. Valentine, all in favor.
Resolution 2022-34, William Cannon.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch, second Mr. Mills, all in favor.
Resolution 2022-35, Robert Hastings.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Resolution 2022-36, Charles Jones.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Mills. All in favor.
Resolution 2022-37, Andrew Barnum.
Motion. Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Resolution 2022-38, Daryl Shute.
Motion. Motion, Mr. Mills.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
And resolution 2022-39, Cyril Fullenkamp.
Motion. Mr. Mills, second Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Almost tongue tied.
Thank you. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Chairman, just as Mr. Miller comes before us to discuss this Bend Corps, an opportunity for the board to make some transitions for their insurance and with some opportunities for benefit packages for the Board of County Commissioners employees. We had started looking at it last year during the budget time, with our interest in making the changes. We never got to do this part of it. So we had requested him, myself and the finance team, Ms. Jackie Johnson and her staff. We had spoke with him and got opportunity for him to get to come today. I thank you for that, coming in, explaining, to answer all the questions. I know nothing about benefits or insurance, so we'll put it on him. Thank you for showing up today.
Thank you, Mr. Cannon. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So the program I'm talking about today is called a special pay plan. Dixie County schools have utilized this program for over 20 years. The concept is pretty simple. Today, when county employees get to retirement, they have accumulated sick and vacation time that they've banked, that they've pooled together, that they're going to get paid out in cash. This program, rather than paying it out in cash, puts it into a qualified retirement plan for the individual. Now, it's a mandatory program. So everybody who is in the program has to have the money into that plan rather than being paid out in cash. There can't be any choice. The benefit of that, however, is the IRS treats that as an employer contribution instead of an employee making that decision to put it in on their own. Why is that a benefit? They don't have to pay Social Security or Medicare tax on any of that money, ever. What does that mean to the county? You don't have to match the Social Security and Medicare. The program, it looks, feels just like a retirement plan. It's the employee's money. They're separating from employment, so they can get the money immediately, but they still save that tax burden on the money that's going in. So it's a win for the employee, a win for the county. It costs the county nothing. It costs the employee nothing. Yeah. The program, I know everybody sits there and goes, whoa,
that's impossible.
Yeah, exactly. The money goes into investments just like a 401k plan. We get paid by the underlying investment companies because we bring them these assets. We do these programs just so you have a little perspective in 60 of 67 school districts around the state. First started doing this in the early 90s. We got IRS approval in 1998 for them. The documents that we provide to the county are IRS approved. It's a win-win for the county and for the employees. The only thing that people push back on is the word mandatory. You're making me do something. Nobody likes being told what to do. The counter to that is if you are retiring when the money is paid out, which is typical, that's when you'd be paying out the check, the money goes in on Monday, they can pull the money out on Tuesday. There are no restrictions, there are no fees, so they can pull it out whenever they want. The final benefit of it is for people who are getting a large payout, you're going to get hit with higher taxes because that payout is being lumped on top of your earnings for that year. So all of a sudden, you're going to be in a higher tax bracket. By putting it into the plan, you get to defer that until you want to use the money. So if you decide you're retiring in the middle of the year and decide you want to wait to the beginning of the next year, you're in a whole new tax year, so you'll pay a lot less on those that money when you pull it out. Entirely up to you. From an administrative perspective, this is a turnkey program. We do everything. We go through the setup with the county. We provide you with the documents. Everything is signature ready. It's IRS approved. We go through an approval process with them. We've maintained that approval since 1998. And then we run all of the administration of it. The only interface between the county and Bensport is the submission of a simple file that has the employee's name, Social Security number, address, and the amount that's being paid out that is sent to us. We then upload that into our record-keeping system, and then we interface with your payroll system to then submit the funds. The employee doesn't even have to set up the account. We do that for them. We provide all of the communication so that your employee benefits area has the materials to be able to share with them so that they understand what the program is all about. And, you know, as I said, they can get the money out whenever they want. So it's a real win-win for everybody involved. At a real high level, I know I wanted to keep it short and sweet, but that's how the program works.
Question, Tom?
Please.
You was right. I the mandatory thing. So you said just accumulated time. So what about, let's just, Brenda, I'm looking at her. So if she enrolled in this, is that something she contributes her any money to, or is it just at the end of the career?
Just at the end. So there's no risk and there's no contribution, no elective deferral is what they determine.
So she put her money in Friday. Friday's my last day.
Yep.
And then she sobers up after 4 or 5 days. She can go get her money, right? Because retirement, you got to celebrate.
Absolutely.
So, but now you just said, you put a key word there that it's a way to defer taxes and not pay the taxes. If she chooses 2 days later to get her money on Monday,
yep.
What about the taxes then?
Yep, then you pay your federal. Clearly, we have mistaken. Lots of people coming from and every place else. You never pay the Social Security and Medicare. That's a permanent payment for you and for county. Your federal taxes, you'll receive at 99 at the end of the year. And
that's
the count. I will receive taxes on April 15th.
But ain't we set up on guideline about 240, 480, something like that?
Mr. Chairman, yes. So in our employee policy and procedure, we have a set time in there that's 240 for annual is the max that you can when you retire at this time, and 480 for sick. But that's what I have to budget every year. Yes, generally, I talk to the department heads in the past and say, hey, do y'all have anybody anticipated retiring? Because we have to plan for that because it'll be a lump sum payout. And I just used the example last year with Mr. Tim Alexander and Cheyenne. We paid a big amount out for both of those that was really unanticipated for me on that transition because we had done balance the budget, you know, when they had left. So we have to budget for these payouts, but we also include all of our FICA federal income tax and on that side of it. So it's definitely going to be a cost saving for us on the budget side.
On y'all's company, is that the leave and stuff that's not used yearly goes into y'all, or is it?
No. Just the accumulated, the unused portion when somebody is
terminated.
Everybody. I mean, you're budgeting that as it comes up. You know somebody's coming up.
Right.
All right. How does that work on y'all? Y'all going to accumulate it? We county going to put that money in y'all's funds? How'd you go forward?
Not until the employee leaves.
Not until they leave.
This way, instead of writing a check, they're sending a wire to an account for that employee. The savings for Mr. Cannon is he doesn't have to pay the labor burden, the FICA and Medicare on that. So he saves, if it's $10,000, he's saving $765 in FICA and Medicare tax on that he would have had to pay. So is the employee. They're also saving that $765 by the $10,000.
I got one question.
Say that again.
After 32 years of high school here, it took me all over 3 months to get my money pulled over from them or into my current retirement account. And that was, I can only speak for myself, but I know there were other people that had a similar experience. So it wasn't a next day thing. So just 3 months for it to get resolved in my situation, and probably about 7 phone calls.
Why would that happen?
That's a very good question, and first of all, I apologize that should never have happened.
I should have been making your company. Well, during that 3 month period, it should have been in my, when I want to roll it over, it should have been rolled over immediately.
I just wanted to put that out there. Maybe finally, I think we can come to that.
Again, I don't know the situation for that. Typically, the way that we set it up is that any distribution is done electronically. If you get online onto your account and request that distribution electronically, and we are monitored by the SEC, that has to happen within 24 hours of that request online. I'm happy to put you all along.
One more question. Again, how does your company, I mean, nobody does nothing for free. How are y'all making y'all's money?
Yeah, so when the money comes into the participant's account, it is invested in a default account. So it goes into a, typically the default is a stable value fund. Employees, the contract we're using today, every employee gets no less than 1.5% on their money once it goes into that account. So they start earning money immediately. Because we bring a lot of money through lots of different clients across the state to this insurance company, they pay us out of what they're making, and so it doesn't come out of the participant's account. It comes from the account.
It goes back to what I was asking earlier. So as the fleet's going on, there's funds coming from their thing into y'all's account that we normally would set on. We fund those out. You said you paid a 40 at the end of the thing. They're going to be getting revenue throughout the process for him to make money.
Right.
And you're paying out at the end of the year. And the other question is, well, I was getting to, y'all are an investment group. What assurances is that y'all don't lose their money? That's my concern. A lot of times it's good and you put it somewhere and it goes south and then they go get it and it's gone.
It's a great question. That's why we defaulted into a stable value fund. It's our responsibility to go find a company. We're using Lincoln Financial right now as our stable value fund. They have hundreds of billions of dollars in these types of accounts. We're looking for that financial stability and companies that have been around a long time and are going to be around for a long time.
Yes, sir. Well, what kind of guarantees do y'all have in place just in case that stable company goes south?
Correct. The Lincoln has their own financial protections, and the county actually signed a contract with Lincoln where they are guaranteeing that amount to the plan and to the participants. So they're the ones who are doing that. And every one of these stable value companies is monitored by the rating agencies like AM Best and Standard & Poor's, and they have ratings that we continue to monitor. One of the nice things about having Bencor is we have the flexibility. If we see that a company is going the wrong direction, we can move the money and do that for our clients.
You say the county signs a guarantee?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Lincoln,
I wasn't clear on that.
There's a contract that Lincoln is making a guarantee
to the county.
To the county and your participants in the plan.
But now I've got concerns too about the lady said why it takes so long to get her money.
I agree.
You guys make money off of her interest.
No. Well, if the money went into the contract, she was earning interest on that money while it was sitting there. Still should never have taken 30 days to get that money out. I have to find out why that happened. That should never happen.
I mean, that's pretty much a guarantee that they can't lose their money if it goes in there.
Did you lose any money?
I did not lose money except for the 3 months of interest.
So 90 days is not 30 days.
You're only making 1.5% for them, but my IRA during that period of time was making 8 or 9%.
And you was mandatory to, because the board voted to make
sick leave money.
Yes.
You have to purchase sick leave money. I had a schedule out because of the service and not my
company. So the board voted to make this mandatory for the employee?
Every employee.
Every employee.
The only way they can do it is everybody puts money in that pot. You can't
When they retire only.
I'm a board member, and I don't have the right to make that decision to nobody. That's a little bit out of our league, I think.
I think the government, and we are a governing body, I think they got too many policies and procedures already in place, and I don't think if an employee works and they earn their time, I just don't agree with me or anybody else saying, you got to do this.
No, absolutely not.
You've earned that time. I have a lot of time. But now, let's look at the other side of it, the pros of it. It does save the county money on some taxes, and maybe it does save the employees some money too. But there again, I like a voluntary setup. And
I don't matter to me how much money.
My suggestion would be to try to get a list of the employees and get set up something and get with the employees, and if they're good with it, then let them make that, and then we'll back the employees up on what they want.
You can, and that's actually a good way of approaching it, because you can define the eligible groups. You don't have to do it for everybody. As an example, the sheriffs could decide to do this separately, or if you had administrative staff to do that, if you had collective bargaining units to do it as part of that negotiation. So you can define the eligible group. It's very flexible that way.
I'd be willing, I mean, for what the employees want, then I'll be behind them 100%, because at the end of the day, they voters, and they the ones that put us up here.
Yeah.
And we're here to help them any way we can. So.
Darren, I know you're
yes,
coming up here pretty quick.
I'm in a situation where I'm close to retirement. I'm working on my plans for that now. One of my major concerns was my payout. I'm one of the four or five employees that are grandfathered in the old policy procedures, and the board paid me 100% of my sick leave when I leave. I have nearly a year's worth of salary built up in that sick leave right now.
How can we fix that?
Let's stop right there for just a second, Darren. And Darren's right, because when we put the policy in place, there was him, Mr. Oster, I think Mr. Bush might have been in that also. There were some employees that this board voted, I think it was 9 or 10, somewhere right through there. Yeah, 11. So we voted that if you've earned this time, it's yours. But once you fall inside the 240 and 480, you don't go back outside the fence. And Darren was, but there was probably five or six employees. Even I think Denise might have been one of them.
But here's where I was concerned at, and I just actually about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago met with my financial advisor, because my major concern was, one, whenever you pay me that money, we're going to pay taxes on it. You're going to pay taxes on it. You're going to tax me for it. So I'm going to lose nearly one-third of that.
Hold on.
Which is somewhere in the area of about $25,000 for me that I lose, $20,000 to $25,000, that I could be investing somewhere. The board is going to pay all the FICA and whatever other taxes on that out of the county budget. Regardless, they're going to pay that. And then I'm stuck with the rest of the taxes. The second thing it costs me is that it automatically throws me into a different tax bracket when you write me that check. So not only am I losing my $20,000-$25,000 that you're paying me when I leave for the leave time, but I'm also now in another tax bracket, which is going to hit me on the other end of the world. I spoke to my financial advisor about 8 or 9 months ago, because I was strongly considering retiring last February, and he told me it wasn't a big deal. We just roll your money over into an account, and we'll put it in your account with me, and it won't be a big deal. You won't pay taxes on it. So I came back and I spoke to Miss Jackie about it. She said, "That's not, you can't do that. We don't have that account." She said, "We're working on it." That was back when they had started working on it. She said, "But right now that doesn't exist. You can't do that. We have to pay you, and you're going to lose the money." But for me, it's a tremendous asset. I was glad to hear they were working on it. I was very tickled to hear that he was coming today. Some of the employees, I understand, you know, they would love to have a check for 100 hours or something in their pocket. But according to what he says, they can still get that. It just has to do that rolling. And they do still save, county still saves money on that. So I'm 100% in favor of it. It's a tr-
tremendous savings for me. And that was one of my major concerns, was how am I going to work this leave time out? When do I need to leave so that it doesn't cause me that impact of putting me in no tax bracket? And how do I navigate through that? And once I had set that meeting last few weeks ago, I actually went and seen Miss Jackie. They already had the paperwork and the preliminary paperwork that was what we would be using. So I carried a copy of that to him because this is exactly what it is. And he agreed as well. It is a savings for the county, for the board. Every time an employee leaves, whether it be in my situation with 1,500 hours of sick leave or someone that has 100 hours of sick leave, you still save whatever percentage of FICA and Medicare that is that you would pay as the county, because you're mandated when you pay that out to pay that tax on behalf of that employee. So it is a savings every time an employee leaves for the Board of County Commission for budgetary purposes, and I think Ms. Jackie could probably back me up on that. But I, for one, I'm in agreement with it. I agree with y'all. I don't like anything being forced on me. One reason I still get a paper check. I'm working on Ms. Jackie. But I do agree with that. You know, I wish it was selective whether you could choose to enroll or not. And maybe there is a way, I don't know. But for me, it is a tremendous asset. And if the board does not do that, then I'm going to have to look at alternative means of breaking my ordinance to county. So I agree 100% that it's a great thing from what I've heard, and I would love to see the board pass it. But I am only one employee. I am only one of five that's in that situation with that large of a payout. So y'all have to make that decision based on the entire staff, not just me.
Ms. Holly, go ahead.
Yes, I'm going to add on to the conversation about transferring of the money. So I've worked with them Corp for and other jobs that I've had with the state. And it is as simple as he's saying. When I was a young woman and I left the state job, my money went from that current state employer to them. Within a week, I was able to get my money out. I just put it in my savings. Later on, what happened was I was in more of a situation where these ladies were. And it wasn't necessarily VenCorp. It was a conversation between VenCorp and maybe the company like Valid or Edward Jones or whoever it was I was trying to send the money to. It wasn't either one. I didn't want to have to pay taxes on it. My accountant is saying to me, oh, you don't withdraw the money. You don't forward that to VenCorp, put it in your savings account, take it out of your savings account and send it to Edward Jones for investment. The money needs to leave VenCorp and go directly to whatever investment company is using. And sometimes that can take time. I'm with you. I never had to wait 3 months, but it did take almost 45 days on that one deal. But it wasn't anything that this company did or the company that I chose to invest my money with. It was, I didn't want to have to give Uncle Sam any of my money, so it just took time right now.
I can just say that having been a 1%, I've been with Lincoln Financial for probably 20 years, and they are a really stand-up company, and we said we'll be on the phone call and say, hey, we need to move this, and we don't need to move that. But
I agree.
Any more questions?
There is one last piece, and Commissioner, you started to hit on it with different groups being eligible. You can also set different levels within this. You could say, as an example, only somebody retiring over the age of 55 can go into the plan, or only somebody who has more than 100 hours or whatever the limit is. So you can control, again, what that eligible group is and how you utilize it.
I think it's a great plan. I'm all for it, but like I said, I want the employees to have a say-so, in my opinion, on what we're making them do, and I'd like to see you get with Dwayne or whatever we got to do to try to get that together, and then we'll go from there, because I can't really see anyone not wanting to say if they have to wait 45 days, getting $10,000 more than what they would have had got if it didn't go with that, you know, on their monies.
That's probably a really great idea, what you just said. You haven't just gone through the employee policy manual review. But you had a policy that said anybody who had over XYZ hours were mandated daily. You'd be seeing what your concern was in the very beginning. We give employees annual leave and sick leave so that they use it when they need them. They don't bank them. And that's part of the problem that we were running into was employees were banking for a rainy day. Don't get me wrong, I think they should bank their sick leave for a rainy day. But we need to, all of us, get to a point where we take our vacation time when it's given to them. And that would be a savings on the budget side, too. But I would love it, too. Right? All the departments would love that, too. But I mean, but that's an interesting concept. If you set a value of once you reach XYZ amount of hours, you need to enter into this contract with this company. Other than that, your incentive is you need to be using your vacation.
Anything else?
So my only problem with it is, do all the employees have to do it? Or can some of them say, no, I don't want to do it?
He's saying we can segregate it out. He's able to do it different. A certain age bracket has to do
that
one.
That would be now. Everybody who is in, however you define that eligible group, and you could have multiple groups. So, as an example, we could say, Chief, are you with EMS?
Yes, EMS is eligible. Everybody in the EMS department. Has to be in the program.
Exactly. That's a perfect example. So that's how you can structure it. Doesn't apply to anybody else. Then if another group says, wait a minute, we want to be in that, then Dwayne can get that group in. It's a very simple process. It's a one-page amendment, which we can add another group of employees. Now they're in. So you could build on it that way.
Like I said, I'm good with it. I'd just like to get some input from the employees.
Yep.
So, Mr. Chairman, from what I understand, then, we'll get Mr. Kurt, HR, involved, get them together, get them with the department heads, sit down and talk, and take times where they can talk to each group, just like at a department head meeting, and to see where they're at, get the feel on them, and then we'll come back to y'all. Mr. Kurt, we'll set up another opportunity. And again, this was just, we were looking at ways we could save money. This is the way we found we could save money, both for Dixie County Board of County Commissioners, taxpayers of Dixie County,
and
your employees as a whole. And it was my understanding that it wouldn't be an issue or a hindrance for them to put that money in there. So we were just trying to create a way to save a little money.
Deal. So y'all get up. And
Mr. Kurt, thank you.
Thank you,
yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Thought y'all may want Darren to sit in on these meetings with the employees so that they can get a real picture of like he just described.
Yeah. Someone that's beating on this guy is looking at him in the face that knows what's fixing to happen.
Yeah. And you can explain it to
him. Looking at the 30 years.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
20 water and sewer, man.
Darren, did they tell you how much after you said you're going to lose about 25? On the taxes, when they throw you in the high tax bracket, how much more are you going
to
take?
I'm scared to ask.
You scared to ask? You might run up with nothing. You owe them.
Swanee Water and Sewer.
I went down there for a meeting, I think, on President's Day, and we had our three members that we had appointed, Mr. Lee, Mr. Strickland, and Ms. Karen. Very, very good meeting, all up to the point that Mr. Byrne said he was having issues and he needs to step down off the board, too. So, with that being said, we got to appoint someone, and I got someone in mind. I'd like to appoint Mr. Jimmy Lamb to that position when Mr. Byrne steps down. So, I'm going to make a motion to appoint Jimmy whenever Mr. Byrne steps down. And the reason behind Jimmy is a former board member there, and he's well averse to how the duties and responsibilities of a board member. But I also encourage them that this time, I think there's the way we set that up a few years back was when the commissioner run, there'd only be two members run in that on that board, and then when the commissioner didn't run, which was this time, there'd be three members. It was set up to where they all run at one time. And if you wiped out all your knowledge and your responsibilities of people and duties, you lose a lot of
integrity to the board. So we changed that up a while back, and I did tell them that three people had to go supervise the election office and qualify, and don't know if anybody will run or not. I think there's a very good board down there right now. I sure hate losing Mr. Byrne, but Mr. Byrne, as y'all remember, we appointed him also.
What is that time frame?
He said soon. He didn't give me a date, so I'm just trying to stay ahead of it. We'll just have Jimmy sitting in the wings waiting. If y'all good with that.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, second, Mr. Mills, all in favor.
But they are actively, I think they got a workshop set up for next, this coming up Wednesday, which is the 7th, it's Monday, 8th, 9th, so the 9th. They're going to start interviewing some people for the manager's position. They have three. One of them probably not going to show up. And so they're having issues with help just like we are and across the United States of America. So anyway, they are actively working on that. So Swanee Water and Sewer is doing pretty good. Miss Jerry Lynn, and she's doing a great job. And Mr. Ben's doing a great job. And employees is working their tail off. So everything's good down there besides the lack of help and board members. So, 21 or so is good. That's my report for them.
Mr. Chairman, for clarification, what is Mr.
Vaughn's
name?
Mr. Byrne.
Mr. Byrne, 21 or
so. First name is last name.
I might have it.
Okay. Thank you.
I think I got it. My phone. Hold on a second.
But his first name is Byrne.
It is Byrne. We'll get
that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's probably not a county phone. And I know I do not have that in that county phone. I got him 20 words to a burn.
Is that it?
Yes.
Mr. Greg.
There's an award and a contract was sent to Slack Construction earlier this week, so they'll be moving ahead with courthouse security upgrades. We've reached out, talked to Dwayne, reached out to Anthony Columbia to schedule a meeting on negotiating the parking lot. We now have that 10 scheduled for Tuesday at 2 p.m. Work out a reduced cost on that. 95th and 97th CDBG grant. We're still working on getting those surveys completed on that. I did talk to the CDBG administrator that grant cycle is still months, so we're still ahead of the curve on that. But we do need to try to get those surveys done. I think we'll end up having to find a door to door on some of that. Finish that up. On that, 362nd and 364th, we're getting that packaged up to submit to DOT here in the next few days. Last thing I got is not good news on the seawall. Did not make the cut.
First field, last field always got me seawall.
They funded 17 applications out of 246. So we were one application of 246. There were over $2.2 billion worth of requests made, and they only funded $64 million out of that. So, competitive. One other thing I know that we could probably do better is if the board wanted to invest in preparing some sort of plans and try to have more detail, or some sort of matching money, if the board wanted to put that in there, see if we could give up that score anymore. We were encouraged. We got an interview. We talked to them and was encouraged by what they said, but at the end of the day, we didn't get the final cut.
We got to do something there, fellas. We 349 is scheduled to be finished up all the way to the dead end in 20. Is it this coming up year, releases?
Yes, sir.
And July 1 and DOT physical year. We're losing some of that road out there in front of around the post office area and right on down to that bridge that goes across the Griner Island.
But we've got to do something in there. So I say be creative and bring something, put something together, do something. I was really hoping for that there.
And obviously we can resubmit next time.
Right. Well, there's going to be more money.
Maybe we can beef up what we got and resubmit
for sure. We need to show a little bit more in it. I think we were in at that. Nothing with what we submitted. We just had a ranking overall. It was just some of the other ones. We had some more points because they had matching monies. They had other documents they were able to provide. And then they also had larger service areas. I mean, we're limited. I mean, we can only protect how many residents we have in Swanee. And we're trying to fit on that. So we're going to have to make up the difference somewhere else. Going back ahead. Hard for the good, bad news, but
it happens.
We'll keep pecking away at it.
What do you mean we're losing part of the day?
Say that again.
The
road's undermined. I mean, it's all over the county. I mean, it's all over the United States, honestly. Whenever you got a seawall or supposed to have a seawall there, tides in and out, it washes out sand. It washes out.
Huh? Mangrove.
There's
red mangrove, black mangrove, white mangrove. They're the only trees that can grow in one of those southern landscape regions. We need them all around Florida. Unfortunately, there's mainly these. You've got big companies that come in with their all these big buildings. They have pepper plants that kill the mangroves. It's a major thing if you save our leaves. If you save our erosion, it's not. It would actually help with our water filtration.
Look at some mangroves, please. The other thing I have is the road that you designed for me down there around Billy Smith and this Wayne McGargle's place going in there. You remember when we drove down there and looked at it? The road turned out really good. It turned out great. The road department done a really good job on following your plans to see. But here's where the butt is. In that curve, and I know you know what I'm talking about, that curve that goes around, it goes on down to them homes. If they're pulling a boat, that curve is so narrow that, remember where we took that grade all and made little dips where it drained into the canal, the trailer tires are falling off in that. Could we look at that again and see if that might be something that, and Dwayne, it might be something we have to do about our right-of-way property through there also. How much we got to see if we can eliminate some of that issues also.
And we're tied in there?
Yeah, we're tied.
Trying to fit everything in there?
Even if we have to go back and move the curb the other way somewhat, too.
The small swell we had there, we didn't have a whole lot of room. It worked if the road department was to put buildings or...
That was my first train of thought was honestly right there at the swell. But I agree, seeing how you was neck deep in this, and I really like the engineer side of it, honestly, better than Mark Hatch, who's Dome County Commissioner trying to design roads. It's not my wheelhouse. So
can we get the road department and go there and take a look at it and see what?
Okay, dude. That's all I have.
Yeah. I got a couple things on the road that y'all think we awarded to Addison Club me to do the surfacing through the Hamilton there. When we was discussing
305.
But if not, Mr. Gregg is not. The Robin Associates is the planning engineer, and Lockhart Associates is the CEI firm for DOT.
I thought I'd ask them about looking about culverts going in that area because it was not in the project. That's where a lot of the flooding went on in the county. And the reason I bring that up, last Tuesday, which was my birthday, which is the same day that Frank, my previous worker, lost his life up there. But nevertheless, the governor sent someone down from his cabinet, Mr. Alex Crowney. Anyway, we rode out throughout the county, went and I showed him the water management area up there, all the culverts, the ditch blocks. He understood the whole concept. I got Mr. Dwight Knight in the truck, the county manager.
road to look around a lot of canals and whatnot. And it's kind of funny in a way. He has informed me that he's been trying to establish a line of communication with the county because they have some funding and the governor wants to help us down here. And I don't know what happened, but he had called Dwayne's office and left messages. Said he called Mr. James and left messages. Said he's called Mark and left messages. Said he called the WC and left messages.
Who called me and left messages?
This gentleman right here. Dwayne was in the truck when he was talking about it. Anyway,
Mr. Chairman,
what's funny about it, when he called me, I have the phone. I said, well, you just busted my bubble. I said, I thought you called me first. I thought I was a hero. I'm the zero. I'm the last guy you called. But
he
nevertheless,
called me.
He ensured that they had
right now
money.
He can't call me.
Here he is. You can call him that. Anyway, he assured me they had lots of money at Tallahassee, that the governor's willing to help not only with flooding projects, with other projects within this county. And if it got to the governor's desk, they would sign it.
That's what he said.
He said exactly.
So what he was saying was that we would have put in, Mr. Chairman, these grants. And, you know, we put in delegation monies with the Stormwater Task Force to the tune of $2.7 million. He said if your senators and your representatives approves that, gets it on a bill, that's exactly what he said. He said the governor's office would not deny that. We would try to make sure that that got approved. But we have submitted those 3 months ago for that process, and they are on a bill. But there's only a certain amount on the bill. It's not the total amount. So when that gets in a bill and gets sent to the governor's office for final signature, and I don't understand fully how the whole process works and the delegation process, but the man did make the statement to Commissioner Stevenson that they would not deny it. But you know, as a board and as a community and as a county manager, we submitted that over 3 months ago and been working on it with the Tallahassee.
And he also told me and Dwayne, like, that bill there got cut some funding or somewhat, some of it slashed. But if Bradley or whoever the next step adds it back, they're going to sign it. All we got to do is get them to up the number back to where it was at. And also, they really like a phase 1, 2, and 3 project. We have no drainage system in the Old Town area. We're trying to figure out how to do that. He suggested that we submit a phase 1, 2, and 3 project, and they would fund it. Dwight said that they was already within that process. But on your seawall, what I'm getting at, he made it certain that they had other funds available to be utilized. And everybody thought that the state was going to be way down on their tax revenue. They was way up. Matter of fact, the man told us, I'm not exaggerating, he said they had billions to spend, is what he stated in that. And that the sessions was not going like they really liked in Tallahassee, so they're going to have a bunch of money. So anyway, I'm just putting that out there. If we can get any projects, get them submitted, the way he was talking, he could get us money. And I got his name and number out here on the card. If you would like it, to contact him, see if he can help with any of the funding on the seawall. And I think I got some more in the truck. Which he got all Dwayne's information. I think they've got that worked out. Well, we do have a lot of communication now.
Yep. We've emailed and spoke with him.
I certainly would like to talk to him. The normal process, the administrative process, and then you got the political process. And sometimes they don't both match up.
Well, he was trying to give us some insights on how to get to where we needed to be.
What's the man's name?
Alex Cronin, if I remember correctly.
If I could get the gentleman's card,
I just gave WC1. I think I got the one in front.
I'll send you an email of his contact, Mr.
Wayne's got all of it.
Certainly make contact with
him. We might could get something on the seawall side on that. Possibly.
I will tell the board. I think the key part is you've got to get your representative and your senator to move that stuff ahead. It gets to the governor's desk. I definitely don't see the governor vetoing anything. But that's the key part of it, is getting to the
And they have done just that. I mean, they got it on a bill to be presented, but it did, some of the funding on that particular project got cut. We have questioned them on it, and they said, let's get it to the next step. Don't worry about the actual money amounts at this time. So we've been waiting on just that and getting back in contact.
You know, sometimes when they do that, when it goes to the next level, they're scared to do anything because they're scared it's not going to get funded. But he's kind of giving us a thing that get there, we ain't going to, we're going to pass it.
Yeah. I said the man in his word when he told you that. That's been my experience with you at the governor's level. But the key to it, like I said, is getting it, because they have to go through committee, and when they go into committee, then, you know, Senator Bradley, Representative Clemens, they're competing with all the other representatives and senators for that pot of money and all that. So you got to keep it in front of them. That's the key to it. I'll tell you this, what a lot of the counties are doing. It's probably, I don't know if y'all have ever done this, but a lot of counties now, even smaller counties, are hiring lobbyists to talk to representatives and senators while they're in Tallahassee. And,
the McGriff Pass is a prime example of that. The way we've been working, McGriff Pass has been 25 years, and Doug Bruce has been hired by the 2020 chamber, and we still ain't got that McGriff Pass, and we actually carried Mr. Bill Dunn out there and hung him up on a boat, thinking that, hey, we'd get this, and then dang, if they didn't throw another hurdle, we got approved, and then they pulled the money right back away from us. So just because there's money there, don't necessarily mean it's coming. If it gets to the governor's desk, it's made all the loops that it's supposed to and passed all the other houses. And so it's still a heck of a process to get it to that desk. If we walk in there and say, hey, governor, sign this, if it gets to that point,
we got a question right here.
It's just a clarification. Where passes federal government?
Same thing. I mean, it's the same lobby. I mean, we, same thing.
That's all I have.
And we do a lot of lobbying ourselves. With, you know, we go to South Africa.
Just one more thing the sourcing of money. The administrator is wanting to know do you want to pursue all the projects at one time, or do we want to phase them? My recommendation, because those are going to be reimbursement type agreements, so that we don't put a stress on cash flow, that we prioritize them.
I see some eyes peeking over that podium.
Yeah. They need to be phased, and you're specifically talking about the BP oil spill monies. And the five different projects.
The board can think about that. Maybe next meeting we discuss what you want to do first, second, third, fourth, fifth kind of thing. So we're not talking about years and years between them, but I think from the counties and physical management that we probably ought to say, let's get this one done.
Because
we're pretty much on the way before we start the second one and then the third one. Kind of thing.
I agree. I'm good for that.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Craig.
Thank you.
Locklear and Associates. Hey, let's go ahead.
If we do have another oil spill, what is our plan? What are we
going to
do?
I don't have an answer to that.
We don't care. We don't have to stay in here. It's the only thing that will collect oil. All the dirt that was going away in all these beer shops is they're trying to collect it, but I don't have any.
Yes, ma'am.
Lockbeard Associates.
I don't know.
You ain't got nothing. Miss Cindy.
You're okay. We were closed 2 days for the inventory last week. And the street is pretty heavy here in Collier. And while we're coming, let's leave the lines up and put it on the taxi. They came in and volunteered. They worked hard. They found out a little more to being there and working there than what most people realize. Three Rivers Director Dale Collins, the operations manager, and Cheryl Fleet, and the Three Rivers system staff, Eli Anthony, came up. So we had six additional people come in. Thank God, we'd still be working on it. Our system indicates that we have 35,434 items that's in the library that we own, and 34,318 of them were there to be inventory. I can give you the breakdown if you want it about the number of vendors with all your books and the rest of our books. We're not going to give you that right now unless you want it. Dina Johnson surprised us Thursday and brought lunch in for everybody. So, you know, I want y'all to know how much I appreciate this lady. This is a sudden help. Someone on a careful about putting the books back in order and put them back in the shelves. And some boys are able to take them off. So we've got a lot of cleanup to do. We'll get it done. And the other thing is that I sent you an email giving you the quote on the computer room that we will put in there at the library. So I need your approval to go ahead and move forward with that.
I'm going to make a motion. Well, first, thank you, ladies, for volunteering. We truly appreciate that. But I'm going to make a motion.
Second. We got a motion, Mr. Hatt, second, Mr. Mills, all in favor.
And don't forget the festival down
the
corner, Saturday.
Miss Cindy, did the TDC reach out to you?
The TDC, the Tourism Tax Company, they are hiring a part-time employee and they're trying to find somewhere to put them in an office type deal part-time.
Oh, I thought the office was going to be there anyway.
They will be coming in the office from time to time, but they was looking for a more permanent. It was my understanding they were just going to be 10 hours a week and just actually be a mobile. So when you're always talking about it, to get the phone and get the computer where they can just get access and mainly do a lot of stuff they need to do from their house. Then come to the meetings, come to the board meetings if they need to present anything. They're welcome to be, and we've had that meeting this week with that lady and with TDC. But if they need to do any other meetings, needs to be private, we had directed them to get with the library.
Looking for private. I'm just looking for somewhere for maybe that lady to set up. I mean, they're using that little corner in our office for what she set up and put signs up showing what the county has available and stuff like that.
Susan Wynn, they live with Scotty and I on the website, giving her access. They're actually looking at trying to form a partnership with our historical society and maybe have her set up in the old building down there, which then would give the historical society the opportunity to have somebody there so business would be open and somebody could call in and talk to somebody. So I think that's kind of the negotiation planner, at least that was the understanding
they've asked
of us that they were going to look at maybe trying to, if she was going to need interaction at access, maybe there was a way that TDC funds could help support the internet access for the children. Maybe it could be a partnership or benefit between both organizations.
Thank you.
Mr. Hatch, you got something.
Miss Cindy, Miss Jane from Corner Center in Swanee had a list of stuff. I think we got everything completed on that list. Can you circle back around and see if there's anything that we missed or she's seen since then that this we fixed something and she found something else before
the festival?
Yep, kind of give us a few days' notice on that. But I think we got everything done. But if you don't mind circling around, let me and Dwayne know. And we'll get the road department back down there. Thank you.
Is that it, Miss Cindy? Thank you. Mr. Freeman.
We have another code enforcement hearing, 31st of this month, 2:30 in the afternoon. Back here, able to stick in. Probably going to bring 10 to 12 people.
When was the date again?
Sorry.
The
31st.
Okay. And who
is
that on?
I don't have the whole list of who it's on. You know,
got a bunch of them.
But, yeah, it'll be 10 to 12 at least. We'll be bringing. And the one behind the church in Old Town, that definitely one's on my list.
I think that's where we're at with that. Because that's growing there. It ain't.
I've had both property owners up there last month. They told him it's an ant and a and his mama. Told him to clean it up, get the camper out of there. He did clean it up a little bit, never moved the camper, and then he went the whole different direction and just started bringing it in.
Looks like he hauled it in by the semi-load.
And he brought two more campers in there now. His mama's coming this weekend. They live in McClinney or somewhere over there. The mom's coming this weekend to try to talk to me. I'm putting him on.
Better have some paramedics there. Yeah. I don't think mama gonna have a heart attack. I've never seen nothing like it.
And that's been from Christmas to now. He's turned it into to where it's at now. Yeah, that's definitely on the list. We don't have a decision yet on crab traps. We're still waiting.
Okay. Is there not a deadline on when you can make a decision?
I don't know.
No. That's the Judge Figgle, the email. Well, after Babs called on, sometime this week, I'm still undecisive.
So this is the
Chief Judge Mark Figgle's office. And like I said,
Judge Figgle's one don't make the call.
He's the one supposed to be waiting on the decision.
What I'm asking is, who is making the decision?
Judge Figgle.
Okay.
That's all I know.
We got one question.
I just wanted to verify time on the code enforcement.
2:30.
2:30.
Okay.
Right here.
It's not on board day, so it's an empty day.
If I, one more thing, if I'm not around when his mama comes, if you'll pass it on to her, I will take my grapple truck there and load it all and haul it off free of charge if they'll give me permission.
Oh.
I'll do that where people quit burning my ears.
Mm.
I want everyone to understand that we want these properties cleaned up. We cannot physically go take these people's stuff from their property. We have to have permission or a judge tell us we can do it. But it's not that the county don't want it cleaned up. We're just not going to tie it.
Will you take it to the transfer station and not one of our road officers?
I'll say that and what y'all want to do. Preferably out of this
town. Mr. Dwayne Chauncey?
Uncle Latson had to go back.
Mr. Mike had to go.
Okay.
Mr. Wright.
Hey, real quick, I have a few things to share with you. You know, last year we set records on the number of permits that we issued. We had done related to the permit. This year, this morning, we have done 701 permits. But we started the review this past year in January. It's been working really good for us. Scheduling same-day permitting, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Somebody wants to schedule an appointment, they have all the paperwork. We sit on the process their stuff right there. So that they don't drop them off and then keep it scrambling out and out in time for time. I know Mr. Osteen, he came in yesterday and he got to see firsthand some of that. He just decided to come over and visit with us and didn't realize that, hey, we're scheduling people to come in on this day. Now, Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're keeping open. But I can tell you this much, it has had a significant response by as far as getting on that day. They know they can walk in and walk out that day with their permit. It has cut down on chaos, too.
Contractors.
Oh, yes.
It's going good to me.
Yeah, it works really, really well.
I've got some feedback tonight. I'm just proud of it.
It's something that I wanted to try and want to get everybody on board with it. So, you hear that? That's what's going on over there.
I really appreciate you trying to streamline others there to get the backlog down. So I know everybody here was getting calls on permits and...
But we, so far now, this time last year, we've done 253 more permits than last year, and this year, 20 years, all of the statistics are in. That's not, especially like our permit pullers, like Mr. Jeff already, he sit there and roll out, and he can leave with half those permits that day. I think it's been like a year.
Yeah. I don't know about everybody else, but it's caused a drastic decline in calls to me about permits.
much, and I appreciate it. I love it, whatever you're doing.
Thank you. Mr. Brown?
First of all, we just got back yesterday afternoon, scheduled a trip to Bradenton to the Pierce manufacturing plant for the final inspection of the two apparatus that we have ordered. Between the two trucks, we found 10 deficiencies. Over half of those were corrected within an hour on site. The others will be within a day or two. Low-hanging battery cables, things of that sort, minor stuff. Those trucks should be out of Bradenton, I would say, probably by the end of the week at the rate they were going, but very shortly. They will go to the Panhandle, to their shop up there, the 10-8's shop up there, which is the company that actually sold the trucks. And there they will have the final painting done. They will have the decaling and lettering and striping done to the trucks to be finalized, and they will deliver them to us with the equipment on them. We also went over to the equipment company. 10-8 sells for Pierce, so Pierce manufactures 10-8 sells for. They also sell loose equipment. We went to their site several times as well. We reviewed all the equipment we have already ordered for, and there will be more we have to get. They do that up front, but that stuff is all in stock. So once they pick up the trucks, they'll pick up the equipment. They'll carry it all up, mount it, load it, fix it, get those. I'm thinking from the way he talked, and he did say within probably 3 weeks, I would not bet money on that with COVID. Everything seems to be 6 months behind, but I don't think it'll be that much. So the trucks look real good. They have them inside the enclosed bay with about 10 others. When they went in, they had them side by side, and they look very, very nice looking apparatus. So I want to let y'all know that we will make that trip, and we're going with that. Regards to the appropriation stuff, both of the stations I've not checked this week. We did check late last week. Both of the stations that we've sent an appropriations request for are in the state budget. That closes on the 10th, the final end of the legislative period, so there's only 7 days left, I guess. If they haven't removed them, they are both there, and I have been assured, just like Mr. Callan, I have been assured that as long as they're on the budget, we'll deal with the numbers after the fact. We'll just get them on the budget is what Ms. Bradley told me personally, standing side by side with her. And Friday was a week ago. I had dinner with another gentleman that's working on them in Tallahassee, and he assured me the same thing, that if they are on the budget, they will take care of the numbers when they get there. So it sounds real good, but I'm not even going to cross my fingers yet until I have crime center. So hopefully we will have two new fire stations approved in a few weeks, and we'll see where it goes. The final thing that I have, gentlemen, I hate to even come to you with this. It's been frustrating to me and my staff. I have to. I have no other choice. You all know that we're faced with a minimum wage situation. We've tried to deal with that over the last few months in the budget, and we thought we did do a plan that would work with a 5-year or 6-year, whatever it was, gradual increase. And at that point in time, the raise that y'all approved for us as a county during October put us, my department, my paramedics and EMTs in a situation where we were fairly equivalent, very much below the counties around us. And at that time, most of those counties had somewhat set their budgets, and we thought we were going to do them real good. Immediately after we got all of our stuff in place, most of them went in and amended their budgets. Some of them are already paying minimum wage to their paramedics, including Lafayette County, which is one of the four counties around us. They pay several dollars more than what we are an hour. This caused us great difficulties in getting personnel. We have been short on positions for months and months. We've not been able to receive any applications for the new positions that you as a board approved for us. We can't even get the positions we had. So if we get one, another one leaves. Just a constant rotation. I know Mr. Cannon has spoken to several that have told him it was money. I know one gentleman told us, what, $20,000 difference? Not even as a paramedic. You and you, I had Chief Ferguson pass out a packet, and I'm going to go through a briefing with you. This is a private ambulance company on top, and we can't compete with them, but I just wanted you to see the reality of what we're looking at. $25 an hour for a paramedic. It's 52,000 $1,000 time bonus. That's my calculator was wrong, ladies and gentlemen. That was $96,000 that you were going to work. I don't know how they pay the sign bonus. I have no idea. But if they pay 100%, that's $96,000 per paramedic back here. Ours are making around 43, 44.
Yes, sir.
I've got the numbers in the packet we looked at.
Terry, correct me if I'm wrong, this entry.
Yeah, a lot of counties have got them
running those counties with the level of care, even though they're getting
way more money, if not near what we're providing.
Well, I would like to think, I don't want to down anyone, Mr. Cody. I would like to think that we provide as quality a level of care as anybody.
I'm saying y'all provide way better than what they do.
Private company, so they have a different funding mechanism. Tell you up front, I know we can't compete, but they're paying almost twice or over twice what we pay. If you look at the next page, you see Levy County. That is county government. They just approved $4 an hour pay increase for their staff. That was something they had denied at budget time because the union did not like whatever was in the contract. And they delayed it, and they decided to carry it back, and they approved this last week and before last. If you look at our starting pay on the next page, you can see that it's worked out there. A firefighter paramedic would give incentive to the firefighter and the paramedic between $40,000 and $45,000. When I started with the state, my career 34 years ago, that was a tremendous amount of money. I started out in 15-8 my first year. It's somewhat still hard for me to even fathom these numbers in the state of Florida, so I had difficulty even spending talking about it. But the reality is, this is where we are. These counties around us, you see on the next page, a listing of our open positions. You see the three ambulances and the two engines here. They're one of the wounded, of course, we've not even started filling it because we can't get out the positions. But if you notice, the other one's open every day. There's many days right now in this county we don't have fire coverage other than our squad truck, or my chief officers and myself. That's why I kind of snickered when Miss Holly said it would be nice if we could just have a vacation and use it. I took off 2 weeks not long ago and spent 12 hours leave time. Because every night I stayed up all night answering fire calls. We didn't have anybody to do it. You've got to do something to fix this. Volunteer pool is declining and decreasing. We are currently down with the approved positions prior to this meeting, four positions right now. I have one gentleman that is already considering what he's doing. He's already come and talked to me. I've been told him another one that mainly money. I lost a man just the other day, a very good paramedic. He was a little aggravating to me sometimes, but he was a really good paramedic. But the truck driving job, making nearly twice what he makes here. Every day, gentlemen, we come into the office and everybody, the day-to-day, who's staying, who's going. It's becoming very frustrating for all of my staff, and me and everyone else. We want to be able to provide the quality service. We want to fill the positions. Our staff are burnt out. Last year, we run 5,300 calls, Chief. The year before, we run right at 4,000. We done that without our rescue four last year, which means we done it with one less truck. It's killing us. You'll see the next page, that is our current salaries as we have them. That is broke out at the top by the annual salary. This is at the base rate. And then you will see our base starting salaries for each level of position that we have there. The next page is my proposal. See the increase. If you look at the following page, you'll see a comparison of the counties around us. This is at our current pay rate right now. This is broke out by hourly rate. Yes, sir.
For some reason, I don't have one of those.
Sorry, Chief, do you have one? Sorry about that, boss. I was still in a day, but
I'm
glad you
know. Here it is.
Here, right here.
I thought you gave me.
I know.
that it?
Should be a barred rat face, yellow or red.
Anyway,
okay. That first page shows you the hourly rates for each position. We have EMTs, paramedics, firefighter EMTs, and firefighter paramedics. And each level of service certification has a different pay rate. That is at our current rate. And you will see Swan, Columbia, Lafayette, Union, Taylor, Citrus, Levy, Alachua,
everybody
in the Madison, and Columbia Fire below that. And those are broke out accordingly. And I know it will take you some time to study that.
When we've done this before, there, I mean, that we raise rates hoping we pull some or be more equal across the board with these other counties. And if, correct me if I'm wrong, once they heard that we had raised our rate, they immediately jumped their rate.
Yes, sir.
I'm a damn.
And I don't know that it's all because of that, Mr. Jerry. I just know that, you know, everybody's struggling with this minimum wage. And everybody is struggling with paramedics and firefighters. I do not go to a meeting anywhere in the state of Florida and talk to a fire chief that does not say, I wish I had more help. I need paramedics. The state of Florida, some time back, and Chief Ferguson may can tell me when, but the state of Florida decided at some point in their infinite wisdom that they would allow for paramedics to work in hospitals. That crippled us. Hospitals pay twice what we pay. A paramedic can go to a hospital and in 2 or 3 days working 12-hour shifts make what they make in a pay week for us. We work every third day on 24-hour shifts. There have been a lot of other factors that have went into it, but everything compounds to the point that it's difficult to get help. So now we have the pay raises and the minimum wage. We discussed this just a few meetings ago about the CDL drivers. We're having the same issues. It's everywhere you go. The gentleman left, he had a CDL driver's license. He was one of our three employees that had one. Now I have to find somebody to drive my mobile tonight. But he took a job as a CDL driver, making good money. It's not just us that's affected. The next page shows you with a pay adjustment where we are current at the top and with the adjustment I'm proposed to you gentlemen below. Along with that, you can see the last page has mutual aid calls where we have to call another county because we're not able to handle our calls because we don't have a truck to pay. If you go to Gainesville, I would almost bet you money that you will pass one of our trucks going or coming, or all three of them.
At any given time.
At any given time, day or night, any time of the day or night, you will pass something that says Dixie's coming inside of it. Where I'm at, gentlemen, I don't know that pay is the whole answer. I really don't. We're making other changes. We're changing training processes. We're changing as much as we can find to trade to change. We're trying to upgrade it. We've had these six positions that were approved in our budget for 6 months. We've not spent a dime of it. We've also had the other vacancies that we've not spent a dime of. I'm at a point where I can propose to the board to let me give a $2 pay increase to my road staff and my staff, and an equivalent annual hourly increase to my administrative staff without making any changes to my budget. I have enough money in the 6 months that we've not been able to fill positions to give that increase. There will be some movement of staff that has to happen. I think in fire we come up about, was it 22,000? Somewhere in that area where we're a little bit short. Ms. Jackie said she would rather not try to readjust that back into EMS, but leave it there because we have some additional funds that we can work with there to make that happen. But the reality is those six positions are gone for now until we get a new budget. We will not be able to staff that second truck until we can look at the budget here next year and see where we are. But this is only the beginning of what I know to do, John. When we're paying $13 and the state's paying $15, it's a world.
Let me ask you. Do you have the money to do this now?
Yes, sir. Without any budgetary increases or changes. All the money that
what will we do next year?
We are planning already to give a $1 an hour raise, so this will be twice that.
I mean, do you have money to annually give what you're
proposing? This money should carry forward next year with the given budgetary situations. Whether or not we can re-implement the positions, I don't know. The board needs to keep in mind also that we had to use ARPA funds to balance the budget. So that is something that everyone needs to be aware of. next year from there, I don't know.
Ms. Jackie, my question is, like, you had a shortfall in the tax collector's office, I mean, the clerk's office, and y'all needed more money, and we found it somewhere. Do we have any money, per se, in the general fund that maybe we could add to Darren to give him a little bit more than a $2 to try to get our numbers up somewhat comparable to what these other, the surrounding counties is pulling our employees away? I'm 100% for you, Darren. If you got it, put it, but I want to try to get you some more if we can.
I personally would be some hesitant of that. We're 6 months out from a new budget now. If you and the rest of the board is, and I appreciate what you just said, let me say that first. I think that if she has money, I'm great. I'm paying, let's go. But if not, let's get this 6 months and see where we are next budget year, and then if we have those funds, move forward.
Yeah.
If y'all can come up with the money, I'm good. Let's give them $6, $8,
$12,
whatever you
want. I'm with you on that, though,
because
it's only 6 months.
There's a lot of other departments.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, in budget time this year, if I may right here just interject, my 2 cents would be let's look at the whole act here in budget time because we do got to go up.
Everybody.
My question is this. You said, I know y'all saved some budgetary positions because there wasn't CM. That's where your money's at,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
So what if you do the raise? Are you using all that money, or do you have enough there for if you do get some people interested that we can hire them, or are we just going to say, hey, this is what we got, this is our people? Do you see what I'm saying?
Right now, we are currently down 4 positions.
Right. So can you fill them other 4 with do the raise?
Yes. What I'm proposing is to get us back to 100% staffing of what we had before the budget. After the budget, we added the other engine that y'all approved. That was 6 more people to the day. This money is coming from those 6 people that we can't get applications for. They will not be able to be filled this budget. But if I can get that engine filled in Old Town for that backup ambulance and get my 4 other positions filled, it will help my crews. It will help us because it gives us a 4th ambulance. And it gives us guaranteed fire coverage. Right now, every day I have to ask, do we have anyone for fire?
You see what I'm saying? I just didn't want to go there. And
my fear is that, you know, we'll have to see where we're at next year, whether we can re-implement those positions. But here's where we are. I know this. If we don't do something, 4 is not going to be the number.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be down some more. That's what we're trying to do right now is to stop that. Because the next step, when we lose another paramedic, one day out of every 3, an ambulance will be shut down. So
I know y'all done a lot of legwork on this, Ms. Jackie and Dwayne, and y'all brief me on it. I'm sure y'all brief everybody else on it. But regardless, I'm good with it. Motion to do what you need to do right there, if y'all good with that.
Second. I've got a motion, Mr. Hatch, second, Mr. Mills. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Gentlemen, I will say again, I greatly appreciate it, and it's hard for me to come to you, but this is outside the budget year, and the numbers that you see on those papers, I never thought I would see that in our areas, at least not this week, but I'm not sure what else to do. If anybody has ideas, I would love to sit down and talk with you, and let's see what we can do. We're trying everything we can. We're looking at schedule change. We're looking at everything we can look at. Try to make it work and still
Mr. I'm going to say something. It ain't just our county. It's little employers like myself. I've got to come up with a way. If I lose one man, I might as well quit answering my phones. I got more work right now than I can almost do with what few guys I got. But I got to come up with a way to pay them more money just like the county's got to come up with a way. And it scares the HEL me on my little company, and it sure's got me worried for the next couple of years for the counties. So it's the whole state of Florida, not just this county. The whole state of Florida is like this.
Yes, sir. That's all I have, gentlemen.
I appreciate you, and I think if we can get that other ambulance, that's actually gonna
we're going to get more revenue back because according to these numbers, we have an annual loss because we haven't,
yes,
the other counties have been to pick up of $100-something thousand a year.
I never did
loss.
That, but every time they pick up a major.
Because we can't cover the cost.
We're losing that amount of revenue. We've adjusted billing rates. We've adjusted everything that we can to help accommodate this. And I appreciate y'all's thoughtfulness.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
There are laws that will not allow me to discuss particulars of the call. I'll be happy to talk to you personally privately after the fact. I will tell you that I have that call under review right now. I still have a few staff members to talk to. I have had our medical director review the call. I'm not sure there are any violations of policy and protocols, and I will be speaking with him as well. Yes, ma'am. I fully understand.
We've seen doing impressions on my brother. He comes in the car and hands long and everything allowed to bring him to a hospital to do organ processing. I was there at the truck. Call me.
I will tell you that we've done everything we could to save every patient that we could. I will also tell you that I am looking at that particular call, and I understand there's been a lot of discussion. And if there is anything found to be at fault or wrong, I will assure you that I will deal with it. I'm not at liberty to discuss a lot further about any call that's under investigation, and I'm not at liberty to discuss any medical procedure or care of any patient because of HIPAA laws and violations that you fully understand. I will be very happy to talk with you if you would like. I will be in the office this afternoon.
Do you have any SRG protocols on organ donation as my question?
We have policies and procedures. And I will assure you that all of them are followed, or at least we will see that they were and
they have
one
that's organ donation
policy. We have one that specifically says organ donor.
No, sir. And to my knowledge, nobody that I've seen, we use the Florida regional protocols before. Now we use regionally accepted and approved protocols that are pretty much their state of Florida or nationwide guidelines. What we do have policies and procedures related to death at scene, traumatic injury, and I can't say much more because
sure.
HIPAA laws.
Okay, Mr. Brown, y'all get up with her. In that way. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, let Mr. Barron get with her properly.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say.
She needs. Let her follow the next protocol. Let her come to my office and address it, and we'll address it with the board and the attorney and get everybody involved that needs to be involved. But let's have him have opportunity.
Go Mr. Brown afterwards, and y'all talk, and then if you're not happy, then you go to Mr. Duane's office and see him.
I have one more question. You know, I love you, Darren. Worked with you for years. I was out there in the truck. I never made $10 an hour. I had an AA, EMS degree, 530 EMS degree, and almost done with my life. I could have never gotten a watch shirt, Darren. Never could have got a watch shirt. So, as an EMT, you would have done
Miss Van Finger.
On the scene, and my brother was in B-Fib.
Miss Van Finger.
I feel like you're trying to carry this conversation somewhere that it probably ought not be, and it's appropriate to go there.
Mr. Brown. Yeah, Miss Enden.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Before we go on, if y'all need Miss Jackie for anything, she's got a class at 12:30. So if y'all
need. No, it's 1:30.
Oh, 1:30.
Okay.
We're good. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Ms. Pendarvis?
I don't really have anything to report on this time.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Gail? Ms. Holly?
Now that I gave you a handout at the start of the meeting, that's just a breakdown on the number of animals that PC Maddie's going to have in the fair. Fair starts Friday with the dog show. They take a break. They pick up again the following Friday on the 11th, and that'll be what we like to call our non-sale show, where all the rabbits and guinea pigs and horses and goats and heifers and bulls will be found. So for us, the most important thing we said starts on March 18th, with sale day being the 23rd. We are overall down on the number of sale animals, so I guess for, as a whole, for our pocketbooks, it's a good thing. I expect we're going to have about the same 15% loss on the hogs, not due to illness, which is unique to us this year. It's more of some people jumped the gun, and they bought 60-pound feeder pigs back in the Halloween time rather than buying 60-pound feeder pigs at Thanksgiving time. So we are seeing hogs that are already at that 280 mark and still about 2 weeks to go. So unfortunately, the hog is going to be overweight, and they're going to get some stuff that way. So there will be an opportunity for anybody that's interested in buying a homegrown, grain-fed hog to put in the freezer down the fairground for relatively inexpensive. We have an increased number in levers. I think that's why I'm seeing a shift in the hogs this year at the fair. So we're down on the number. Normally we post more than a third of the show, but this year we're down below that. DC County's also got a little bit of a shift for state vet overall. School enrollment, probably not, but in our youth engagement programs, I've talked to other groups. We ebb and flow. We're kind of in that ebb right now where there's a low birth rate that happened 7 years ago, so those kids aren't ready to come into 4-H, but everything's indicating that our numbers are going to jump up by about 10% come next year and then continue to increase because we had a birth increase.
Does these include Riverside kids too?
No. Well, I can't speak to that. I just asked for her to give me the numbers for Dixie County. I'm assuming that you choose the column for anybody that had an address in Dixie County, that that's where these numbers are coming from. But if not, then we probably have 5 or 6 hogs that would be in Riverside. York Girls and Kimberly, I'm not sure if she's doing the King Girl. I'm not sure. And then Donovan. There's still 2 of the King children over there, and I'm not sure who else. There might be 5 or 6 more
hogs.
But we don't have any steer children over there. Or goat children, as far as I know. Any other questions? All right, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Sandy?
I don't have anything with
Thank you. Mr. DeWayne.
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, Board, Madam Clerk, have a few items today for action. I'll skip over action item number 1. It was to do with the Bencore special pay plan. We'll follow up on that as recommended in the workshop or early on in the meeting. I'll get back to you on that. So let's move to number 2. I need board approval to execute the GSG annual maintenance service agreement for the Dixie County Fire and Solid Waste Assessment Program for this fiscal year, 22-23, in the amount of $19,500. And just a little background on that, this is the group who will take the tax roll, review it, and establish us, you know, information needed for the tax collector to send out the notices for the bills. As you are all well aware, as the public is, you know, as this process that we've done with the special assessment, we had to start last year with a baseline, and I just need approval to move that. The attorney has looked at it. We want to utilize this firm again for the next couple of years to ensure that we have everything.
That's going to be postage and everything else.
Yeah. Motion on you.
Second.
We got a motion, WC. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Okay, and then I need board approval to execute the NGN, the legal services side of it, and Michael has also spoke with the attorney on that with that group for the county's annual fire and solid waste assessment program for this fiscal year 22-23 in the amount of $8,000 payable in 2 lump sum payments to be broken up.
Motion.
Into that.
Second. We've got a motion in WC. Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Okay, and I just want to hit while we're in there. There's been a few questions in regards to collection this. So we obviously we had this status to baseline. I think Commissioner Hatch, if you would like to speak right there on that, but I just want to say that we was given the task over the past 2 years to figure out the data and to discover a baseline for, let's just talk about commercial property such as campgrounds. The campground, we discovered that the cost to get it to Osceola, the baseline of what we could come up with our data with solid waste and what the can rentals that we do at each of these sites was $159 a ton.
we take into account that, you know, how many times a week we have to go dump it, we weighed it, and that's how we discovered that. Over this year, once the tax collector sent out the bills, Mr. Gainey, the assistant county manager, he'd come on about that time, and we started going to all of these areas. We'd gotten with bidding official Leon and went to, took a whole day and looked at them. We have now been and reviewed over 200 residential and commercial sites, but back on the commercial side of things, there's been questions asked to us, the board, and to our county manager's office. Hey, well, they're not getting charged the appropriate amount. So I have provided before you from that initial resolution of what that baseline would be. And, yes, every year we've got to make those adjustments. So I'm thankful that y'all approved these agreements with these two companies. They're the ones who's going to help us make those adjustments to get the exact amount that's required to be drawn in. And there's a lot that goes into it. It's a big formula based off of how many rentals are at these parks. But if you wanted to take the time to look at it, you have the data there that shows you where each campground and what they're getting charged at this time. And then we, if there's ever a question, please get them straight to us. There is a process, but the burden is actually on, in our resolution that we passed last year, the burden is on campgrounds to assure to us that they are collecting and paying the proper amounts. Does that kind of clear that up? Would you
like to elaborate? I've had a couple phone calls and a few messages and about campgrounds and what they were paying, so that's the reason I asked you to do some research to make sure what we were doing was correct. And I do know this. It was overwhelming this past year of what we've done. It's completely different from business as usual. So we will get better, but at least we do know the campgrounds are paying versus not paying nothing.
Yes, sir.
Was the question that I was proposing.
Yes, they are paying, and as we evaluate it this time and get the tax roll in, there might be a couple campgrounds that maybe we did undercharge. We will do our best to change that. I mean, my goal will be to charge them the maximum. Obviously, their goal is to pay the least, so there's give and take there on that, but we will
thank you for that research.
Yes, sir.
On that, Dwayne, there was two or three that's called me that this affected big time with some of the commercial businesses based on the square footage.
Yep, that's the fire.
And you got the Flying Hawk, for example, they went from like $1,200 to $7,000.
Yes.
And their garbage hasn't changed that much. So I think that may be Scott Ambrose out at Dixie Salvage. It affected him.
We've addressed both of those and changed both of those. It wasn't
they went to a small, what's it called, a small
commercial, but we evaluated their tonnage, and one of them actually, the fire didn't change because you can't change because of the
square footage.
Okay. But on the solid waste, we can get
rid
of what we're doing. Yep, okay. It's based off of the tonnage. So we've addressed both of those.
Okay.
Yes, sir. The next item that I have, and I see Ms. Heather, thank you for coming today with Drummond Community Bank. Goes along with Darren and the fire trucks. I would like to request board approval today to execute the loan agreement between Dixie County and Drummond Community Bank for the fire truck purchase in the amount of $748,615.20.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And I need to follow that up with a resolution in support of that, and let me read it by the title, please. Resolution number 2022-40. It's a resolution of Dixie County, Florida, authorizing the execution of a promissory note to Drummond Community Bank to fund the purchase of the fire truck.
Motion.
Second. Got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Ms. Stevenson. All in favor.
And just to give you an update on that, once we get that signed today, Mr. Chairman, executed by the clerk, we will get that information to Drummond Community Bank. They will prepare all the loan documents. And they'll be requesting the chairman to go sign it sometime next week, Ms. Heather, if I'm not talking out of turn.
Dwayne, just to recap for WC, let him know what. Just voted on in case he gets hit with it away from the meeting.
So on number four, we just voted and talked about the loan purchase for the Drummond Community Bank for the two fire trucks, and then backed it up with a resolution 2022-40 in support of the fire trucks. Mr. Chairman will have, he'll actually go to the bank and sign paperwork and get it all taken care of.
Deal with that?
Yeah. Okay. Number six, request board approval to purchase a Hustler lawnmower from Creekside Farm Supply based on the lowest quote in the amount of $10,998.91.
Motion. You got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Last item I have for board action is a board approval to proceed with the sale of the following properties to the highest bidder as presented. These are the nine pieces of property we've advertised last month. We just put them by parcel number. We had 2 to 5 bidders on each property, so it was a really good to middle. We opened them, and we just put down here the highest bids. Obviously, in my opinion, these are the ones we need to go with. But it is for y'all to approve that. If y'all do approve this, at this time, I would be getting with the county's attorney, turn over all the information to him, and he'll do, from my understanding, a quick clean deed of county property to these owners, and we'd set up a closing date, and then they would submit to the attorney's office the total amount. We'll submit that to finance to be put in general fund.
I'd rather these checks be made out to the County Board of County Commissioners.
That's fine. I would process.
My trust account and have them double up.
But it would be at the closing date when they would hand that check over, correct?
That's they can drop up my office and I'll hold it in trust in the safe until it's ready. But it needs to be certified funds. Cashier's check.
To the Board of County Commissioners.
Okay. So you got the 9 properties, the 59,536.65.
That's just the total. Like if y'all accept the highest bid, which is my recommendation, that's the total amount of money that these 9 properties will bring in.
And plus they go back on the tax roll.
And they go back on the tax roll.
I'll make the motion.
We got a motion by Mr. Stevenson, a second by Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
That's all that I have today, unless you'll have something interesting to me, Mr. Chairman.
Send a number to you, Mr. Mike. Do you ever reach out to
me? Oh, yes, yes. I will. I mean, my intentions is to.
Okay. I'll just wait on that one before I elaborate on it. Hold on. We've honestly already talked about it, but I'd like Dwayne to talk to this fella and concerning Mullet Road.
Mike Moses, is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
That's not like
that. But how many properties was that property there behind the old turf time plant?
So the first round of properties, Commissioner Mills, that is not in it. So at the next board meeting, I requested approval to advertise. It's in the process. Paul, correct me.
They're advertised now. They advertised last week, and this week will be the second week of advertising. So
they're due.
The packets are here for people to pick up.
Yep.
And turn back in.
So we'll present that at the next board meeting on those 2 pieces.
I don't have any more.
Two properties. It's available now, so he needs to come get the paperwork from the Board of County Commissioner's office. Submit his bid, sealed bid. We will open them and then present it to y'all as the highest bidder.
Yes, sir. So there ain't no mandatory.
There's no mandatory down payment or 10% or anything like that. We have done in the past. You put in your total bid there. You just follow that bid packet. If you have any questions, you can contact myself or Paul.
Mr. Mike? Ms. Hickam-Bottom.
All I have is we've been posting the agenda to the website, and it's been working really well. But they've notified us that since it's so much of it, there's going to be an additional charge of $475 per year to continue adding those to our website.
$4.75, no problem.
$475. So, if that's something y'all
want to
continue doing.
Motion. Second. We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Mills. All in favor.
Okay. And then the other thing is, Della has numerous, I'm not even sure how many there are here, but she's redone the resolutions for 2020, and they're ready to be reaffirmed.
You need to do them, Michael, and read them out if you do them as one.
There you go.
They're in the packet.
For the minutes,
right.
And then reaffirm them all at
one time
group.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, when do y'all want to do that?
Do you want to do it now, or? It doesn't matter to me, whatever you want to do. Okay. All right, so we'll just go down the list. First, reaffirmed will be resolution 2020-6.
Thomas and Kelly Margarita.
Yeah, Margarita. Resolution 2020-68, Roger Narney. Resolution 2020-69, for Scott and Marcia Over. Resolution 2020-75, for Bobby Glenn Robbins. Resolution 2020-76, for Rise of the Star Wall. Resolution 2020-78, Susan Paramore, Dollar General. Resolution 2020-81, for the Law Enforcement Impact Fee Fund. We have an ordinance, 2020-200, for the Stevenson Paramore Dollar General. Resolution 2020-92, for Jeffrey Davis. Resolution 2020-93, for Karen Saloon. Resolution 2020-94, for Daniel Kelly. Resolution 2020-103 for Tim Spivey. Resolution 2020-105 for Greg Perot. Resolution 2020-108 for Michael and Julia Falk. Resolution 2020-109, Deborah and Robert Davis. Resolution 2020-110, Philip and Tony Bryan. Resolution 2020-113, Dean Ray Parrish, Jr. Resolution 2020-116, William and Courtney Schumann. Resolution 2020-117, Stephen and Teresa Kelly. Resolution 2020-118, John Wayne Holloman. Resolution 2020-119, Christopher Edwin Wilson. Resolution 2020-121, Ernest and Donna Rutherford. Resolution 2020-122, Warren and Bree Barrow. Resolution 2020-123, Michael and Deborah Jennings. Resolution 2020-124, Dale Herring. Resolution 2020-127, Ray and Monica Hansen. And last, Resolution 2020-128, that's for Stevenson Paramore Dollar General.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second question. On the Dollar General, you mentioned Stevenson. I didn't know that.
Your daddy. For your daddy. When he's selling dollar stores, there's his own exchanges.
Okay.
Yeah, that was that particular project.
All right.
I was going to say, we don't own the dollar store that I know of.
A motion, Mr. Hatch, second for Mr. Mills. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Monthly budget recap. We're at 42% a year past, and you can see the revenues year to date and the expenditures year to date and the budget. Are there any questions or you're looking at it, concerns? You do need to remember that, especially on the general fund revenue and even some of the other special assessments. A big
big percentage of your revenues come in over December, January, February, because it's the ad valorem and special assessment money. So it looks like that there's a lot of money there, but it has to last to September 30th, really to December again, basically.
You mean we can't go on a standard pretty?
No, sir. Please, no.
I really appreciate you keeping us up to speed.
You're welcome. You know, we're better than we were. Still got a long way to go. To answer your question that you asked earlier, is there extra money? It's all relative. It's relative to what the other needs are, and that's why you know, Mr. Cannon said this. Let's look at the whole town as a whole.
Sure.
Yeah, there's money, but it's got other homes to go to too. So you have to weigh out your priorities and where the most need is, and how it all shakes out in the scheme of things. It's just like you say, they've got to proportion it out, you know, and where the priorities are. And I can't tell you that either. My thing about your budgets and what my recommendation is we need to get more money in fund balance. As a financial planning, my recommendation to you is, number one, you need it for emergency purposes, for in case we have a big hurricane on September 15th. You've got to have money to get you to the next, plus money to run the county. Number two, you've got to do future needs. And then number three, old lady, what was the three?
One thing for having that account is on your shortfall, say when we have a grant, and we're say $40,000 to $50,000 short on the lowest bid, or 60 or whatever, and we don't have the revenues to match that, and then we go back to whoever's giving us the grant to beg for more money, or to the contractor to try to get it lower. And sometimes you risk losing the whole grant over not being able to come forward.
That was my number three, was tied to the grant. All of our grants are reimbursement grants. They don't give us the money up front. So we need fund balance. We need cash money to run those reimbursements through. Because you can't bankrupt, you know, spend every bit of your cash paying for a grant, and then we have to run the county on. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword there.
And that's why we're phasing grants through.
Yeah, yes, absolutely, and they've done a good job since I've been here of staggering, you know, planning ahead, trying to get it more evenly spread out. It's a juggling act. It is a juggling act. But the better your fund balance is, the better the county's financial outlook is, and the better, you know, you've got ratings, you've got different things that go into that, and you need some fund balance in there to make it meet. You need at least 3 months worth of operating, at least 3 months. Plus, in our case, you need your grant, your upfront grant money that you're planning on spending that year. And my rule of thumb when you're looking at this is if you look at the revenues versus the expenditures, we don't want to take into account the carry forward money. You take into account revenue to make sure that your spending is not outpacing your revenue. And that's a good rule of thumb. And if there is a case of that you want it to be for one-time purchases, you know, things that aren't recurring. Because, you know, you're planning ahead. You have money in carry forward to buy a new station or like an EMS or build a new commission room or whatever. You know, you're saving up money to do these big projects, and it's a one-time expenditure. And you know, then you would dip in the fund balance because that was planned that way. But, you know, the rule of thumb would be you want to make sure your revenues and your expenditures are not, you know, are coordinated there, and make sure you're not overspending for what you have in the bank right now. If that makes any sense.
Perfect.
Any questions about?
Thank you. Doing a great job. I always try to ask you when I want to add for some money, because a lot of times we'll pass up my CEO over just melting, like, how am I going to do that?
No, I'll speak up, you know. No, I'm going to speak up. But we had worked really hard on that whole, you know, Dwayne and the chief had worked really, really hard. And we beat it to death trying to make sure that we're going to be okay. And, you know, we've done the best we can with what we know right today, so...
Well, I really want you to know I appreciate y'all a lot from where we started to where we're at today.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What are you guys? Okay. You there? Mr. James, you got anything to say? Hatch?
I did, but I didn't write it down.
Number three.
So if I think about it,
okay.
I'll come by.
Mr. Stevenson?
I don't really have anything other than I'll be glad when they get that metal out of them dumpsters so they quit calling my phone. And I appreciate everybody. I think they moving forward, and hopefully it's going to get better.
And they can go ahead and start getting the metal, right, Dwayne?
We've been asking them to get the metal.
They better get it.
Man,
hey,
Mr. WC?
Yeah. Been talking with Hutch a little bit about bucket for the new tractor.
That's what it was. So go ahead.
Anyway, there's been several comments made, and he said something about taking the one off the old 350 and rebuilding it, putting it on the new 350. But in my opinion, then you got to find one to fix for the old 350. So I told him that I'd get out there and get looking for one for a new 350, a used one that we could, if we needed to, change the bosses in and adapt it to the new 350. And save a ton of money.
Yes, sir.
But I just want to make sure I ain't going to stick my neck out there again and buy something without talking to y'all about it first.
Have y'all looked into if that bucket's too big? Have y'all looked and trade that bucket in?
Yep.
Getting another bucket?
Yep. You like 17 weeks or something to get a new bucket? Or 17,000?
17,000 for the new bucket.
You can get junk price for the one that's on it.
I mean, we just bought that tractor. Is it beat up that bad already?
No, it's oversized.
I know that, but you can't swap it back. We bought it from John Deere, didn't we? They can't help us out. They take that bucket back and get us a
You might can make a deal with them on it. We haven't been that no success. I mean, they'll take it, no doubt, for nearly nothing. But.
Water holes.
What is it?
There's some water holes put in that bucket.
Mm-hmm. But, absolutely.
But now, that bucket works really good for dirt.
Yeah.
I mean, it would still have a use.
It's a dirt bucket.
It's a dirt bucket. And one that's doing actually went, I think they've seen Mr. James out there at the Culver.
I'll back up again. We paid all that money for John Deere. Why did they send us a tractor that we digging rock with a dirt bucket?
Because we told them to have it there in a few days, and they didn't have nothing
else.
There another bucket, that's what was on the machine. And
we didn't request them to change it, but once they got one?
No. We didn't know it was going to be too big, to tell you the truth.
Well, you just said that it was a dirt bucket. We digging rock.
That's right. A dirt bucket can be a lot bigger digging dirt, you know that.
Right, well.
You digging rock, you can have one too big. And it'll cause bend and bushing to go out a lot quicker than cylinder
packing. A lot more wear, the bigger the bucket, the more wear, the tear, and more strain, that one, everything on that.
Yeah. Yep. sir. You want me to try to find it
yes.
as usual?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And then I'll bring the numbers back to y'all.
Do we need a motion?
No.
Okay.
Find it.
You done, Dr. Smith?
Yeah.
The other thing, whenever he said that, that was one of my things. But I did go out there, and I don't know if y'all did too. I know Mr. James did because I run across him, and it's in his district. But the culverts they put in out there on 019, very good job. Really, them fellows done a really good job out there. And I did, while I was that close, I went to the rock pit, and I hadn't had an opportunity to go out there, and I looked at it. The boys are doing a very good job out there. That was the only complaint that they had, but they're trying to maintain their equipment, too. They don't want to tear a new piece of equipment, so I commend them for missing that. But I think Coach is already working on that in the process, is what he told me. So the bucket issue, Coach has been working on, but I do appreciate our people that are off it. I do appreciate our county employees. I do. But also, Dwayne, we met with the Stormwater Task Force, and y'all was going to order some materials. Did y'all get that?
Yes, we did.
You want to
elaborate
on that?
Well, it was the materials that the board approved two meetings ago. I'm pretty sure y'all approved that materials list. So we sat down and did actually make the order. We did actually receive some of those materials this morning. I think three of the culverts that the company had on yard, they went ahead and sent to us. Now they'll have to make the majority of the rest of the order, and it could take 4 to 6 weeks on special orders, just like the culverts the commissioner's talking about on 419. That one took, right at 5 weeks to get those in. So we did go ahead with y'all's blessing to order all of those materials for the Stormwater Task Force to do that phase one of the airport canal.
Just
want
to briefing on that for the public.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
I want to thank everyone for coming today. Thank you for being patient with us. We're getting better. I'm getting better. Y'all getting better. They think they have a chance. Just want to let everybody know that next board meeting, I'm going to be absent. But WC is going to take care of them. I'm going to be out of town. So now, it's y'all's turn.
To thank our county manager, Dwayne, for allowing the DC County Anti-Drug Coalition to participate. This is Dwayne's take-back date on the 26th, which is on a Saturday. And with the cooperation of the DC County Sheriff's Office being present, we will be able to take back medications and destroy them on site that are unused, and hopefully will keep them out of our aquifer and keep them out of our sewer system and keep them out of the hands of the wrong people.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you. Anyone else?
I wanted to ask about toxic waste. She just answered it 26.
It is. Yep. It should be in two locations. It'll be down in Old Town and then here this way across the city.
Oh, they have a chance before. I am Mr. Burnham for the campground. Be quiet before, but now the meeting's over. Thankful for the approval, and hopefully we'll work together. I am from Alaska, so it's going to be very slow.
Well, let me tell you something now. You're a dooksy now. You forget about being quiet.
I'm a council member up there on the board up in Alaska. Come from a town from 20 people is our population. We're 4 hours from.
Where's that at?
So some relevant. We're 4 hours from the hospital.
For sure.
4 hours. So I am a volunteer fireman. And a lot of our volunteer firemen and our police force. We have state troopers, but all our state troopers are paramedic. So that's something maybe the fire chief could talk with the police chief and say, hey, for a couple bucks more an hour, do you have any deputies that want to be paramedics?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that'll help you guys out find more.
Thank you for coming to Dix County. We appreciate you coming, and thank you for the investment that you're making in Dix County.
Yes.
We appreciate
you. Yes, thank you. Anyone else? No, that's anybody. You.
My brother was always my voice, but most of the time I did all this often. So, God bless y'all for listening to me today. I'm hurt today, sitting on the so, I know the scene happened in three. This is just what I hear from a couple of comments, whatever. It's anyway, I'm lost right now. I've spent my life teaching. I know that the reason why I became a teacher was my best friend died my first day in the office. God doesn't take any of the people for no reason. My brother's in heaven. I'm not worried about my brother. He won the race. My brother won the race. Shoot. That's what my mom deals with people for faith. I have fought in these streets in Utica County for 15 years. Thank y'all for giving them raises. They all deserve that. And by the way, as a sister, it's $25 an hour. I thought it worked today. So, yeah, that's definitely true. Today was a big day. God bless y'all for this. I feel like my brother's shining down on all of us right now. My brother would have wanted to go out with, I would love to have a heartbeat that I could listen to my brother's chest, hear his lungs, or let the person that has laugh, tell me how beautiful I am, because my brother always does that. So, we got to get better, and in Miami, we do organ donation. I'm very excited about this, because I want this worldwide, the United States, I don't want it to speak to county. I didn't realize how many people did not look at life and didn't always do. So, I'm glad we got this done. But anything I could do, and I would love to do mass training, mass CPR training for the county. I'll teach it for free. So when people want to, everybody needs to do it in Gainesville. 100 people, we did 1,000 people last Saturday, I think, with training. Just we could teach them compression. But if somebody would continue doing compression to my brother, we could have at least saved 12 people. Yeah, maybe his heart was, maybe his, I don't know, I haven't seen all I've talked to, but I do know he had 62,000 miles of veins, arteries, and capillaries, and I do know your lungs can take and you stretch out all that you've ever realized, and you sew them together, it's like the size of a tennis court. I do know that he, his eyes, I mean, I would think they are good. His skin, Mr. Andrew Alf, don't know Mr. Andrew Alf, so please keep him in your prayers, my brother loves him. We need skin. I've worked with Shams at the University of Florida for 23 years. There's only three Bernie's in the whole state of Florida. And one in Georgia. Mr. Andy, we're putting pigskin on people and they're dying. So I'm big on working on this. So is Miami. I think Miami can help us. So we got to get better educated. And anything I can do, please help me. I'm here with y'all on board on behalf of my brother and improving his life while. And like I said, God bless y'all for giving me this time it takes to speak on behalf of my brother. I love and appreciate every one of y'all. Just please keep us in our prayers. Your prayers and his girlfriend.
Thank you. Anyone else? Made a motion to adjourn.
Oh, adjourn. I got one more thing. I want Dwayne to check into the contract for the bid. We had the bids for the new track open rock pit. And see if there was a stipulation in there on the yard capacity of that bucket. If we had in there that we only wanted a 3-yard bucket and they sent a 6-yard bucket, then they ought to bear some kind of cost helping us get the correct size bucket for that machine. That's all I have, Chairman.
Motion. Got a motion. Judge C. Second by Mr. Hatch. All in favor. All
right.